What do you do when you've spent more time in Earth's wild places than perhaps any other human and watched them disappear before your eyes? At 94, David Attenborough isn't offering gentle reminiscences. He's sounding an alarm. His witness statement carries weight that few possess. 7 decades of footage showing what we've lost, what remains, and what hangs in the balance. When someone who has held infant gorillas, swum with whales, and walked through forests now reduced to monocultures tells you we're in trouble, you listen. This isn't speculation or modeling. It's testimony from someone who remembers when the Serengeti seemed endless, when coral reefs blazed with color, and when the idea that humans could threaten something as vast as an ocean seemed absurd. Picture an 11-year-old cycling through Leicester's countryside in 1937, splitting limestone rocks to reveal ammonite fossils, ancient sea creatures untouched for millions of years. That child became television's most trusted guide to the natural world, but only by accident. When Attenborough joined the BBC in the 1950s, wildlife programming meant placing zoo animals on tables with doormats beneath them. Frustrated, he traveled to Sierra Leone to film creatures in their actual homes. His first African expedition in 1960 revealed Serengeti plains so vast that a million wild beasts could disappear into them. It seemed impossible that humans could threaten such immensity. We did anyway. What he's witnessed should terrify us. What he proposes should give us hope. In 1968, Apollo 8 revealed Earth rising over the moon, small, isolated, vulnerable. There's an edge to our existence. Emerging ecology proved everything relies on everything else. Bernhard Grismek's wild beast surveys showed grasses needed herbivores as much as herbivores needed grasses. Nature isn't separate parts, but an infinitely complex web. Break enough threads, and it unravels. We've been breaking them systematically, cutting 15 billion trees annually, fragmenting forests until 70% have edges within a kilometer of human development, halving wild animal populations since the 1950s. Today, 96% of mammal biomass is humans and livestock, wild mammals, just 4%. We replaced the wild with the tame, transforming Earth's biodiversity into monocultures at unprecedented speed. Returning to Borneo decades later, Attenborough discovered from the air what seemed like intact rainforest was actually narrow strips along waterways surrounded by endless oil palm plantations. Orangutan populations had declined by 2/3 in 60 years. Half the world's rainforests were gone. The oceans revealed an even grimmer story. While filming The Blue Planet, his team documented extraordinary complexity, cuttlefish courtship displays, dolphins and sharks cooperatively hunting. They also discovered we'd removed 90% of large fish from all oceans since the 1950s. Historical accounts described salmon runs so thick people stood thigh deep among them. By 2000, such abundance seemed mythical. Then came coral bleaching, reefs turning white as warming oceans stressed corals into ejecting their symbiotic algae, exposing dead skeletons. These weren't isolated incidents, but canaries in a coal mine, warning that Earth's life support systems were being pushed beyond recovery. If we continue our current path, the science is clear about what happens next. By the 2030s, the Amazon shrinks to 75% of its original size, triggering forest dieback, where diminished canopy can't produce enough moisture to feed rain clouds, degrading vulnerable areas into savanna and forcing 30 million people to relocate. The Arctic Ocean has its first ice-free summer, accelerating warming as less white ice reflects sunlight. By the 2040s, thawing permafrost releases 1,400 gigatons of carbon, 4 times more than humanity has emitted in 200 years. The 2050s see ocean acidification devastate 90% of coral reefs. By the 2080s, exhausted soils, extreme weather, and collapsed insect populations create a global food crisis. The 2100s begin with the largest forced migration in history as sea levels rise nearly a meter, making coastal cities uninhabitable, while a quarter of humanity lives in areas with average temperatures above 29°C, heat levels currently found only in the Sahara. This isn't speculation. It's the logical outcome of systems we understand, tipping points we're approaching, and momentum we've already created. The solution is straightforward yet formidable. Restore biodiversity. Earth's life support system, built over billions of years, refreshes food, absorbs waste, and maintains balance. As biodiversity declines, planetary instability increases. Scientists identify 9 planetary boundaries, critical thresholds we cannot safely cross. We've already breached 4. Economist Kate Raworth adds crucial insight. Nearly 50% of humanity's environmental impact comes from just 16% of us, the wealthiest. Her donut model provides a compass with 2 boundaries, an outer ecological ceiling for planetary stability and an inner social foundation ensuring everyone's basic needs are met. The challenge? Improve lives everywhere while radically reducing environmental impact. Nature offers inspiration. Nothing increases forever in a finite world. The Amazon has existed for tens of millions of years, constantly changing internally while maintaining its footprint. Yet humanity remains fixated on perpetual growth, stealing from the living world to fuel expansion. We must move beyond this addiction. The ocean offers a triple opportunity: carbon capture, biodiversity restoration, and food security. Mexico's Cabo Pulmo saw marine life increase 400% within 15 years. No fish zones covering a third of oceans would enable fish stocks to recover sustainably, particularly in marine nurseries, reefs, seamounts, kelp forests, mangroves, seagrass meadows that also capture significant carbon. As food production becomes more efficient, we can return farmland to nature. England's Knepp estate transformed uniform fields into diverse marshes and woodlands within 15 years by allowing cattle, ponies, pigs, and deer to roam freely. Yellowstone's 1995 wolf reintroduction triggered a trophic cascade, not by decimating deer, but by changing their behavior, allowing trees to regenerate and creating habitat for fish, birds, and beavers. Costa Rica restored forest cover to half the country within 25 years. While rewilding reduces our ecological footprint, we must address population growth. We're using 1.7 times what Earth can regenerate annually. But global population growth rates peaked in 1962, with average family sizes halving to 2.5 children today. The most effective acceleration is empowering women through voting rights, education, healthcare, contraception, and career opportunities. Wherever these exist, birth rates fall dramatically. Rapidly improving education in the poorest nations could bring peak human forward to 2060 at just 8.9 billion people. Fundamental transformation is essential. Plant-based diets, clean energy, sustainable investments, smaller families, minimal waste. The circular economy must replace our take-make-discard model with nature's efficient cycles. Cities can become sustainability hubs through efficient transport, green spaces, and energy-generating buildings. Singapore requires new buildings to replace lost ground greenery with equivalent plant life above ground cities, providing environmental services equal to the natural habitats they replaced. In 2016, geologists proposed the Anthropocene, the time of humans, marked by plastic fragments, nuclear plutonium, and globally distributed chicken bones. Beginning around the 1950s, this epoch could end soon with civilization's collapse or mark the beginning of sustainable stewardship helping biodiversity recover. We have precedents: the 1986 International Agreement ending whale hunting, cross-border efforts that helped mountain gorilla populations recover from 300 to over 1,000. Nature shows remarkable resilience. Forests reclaimed Pripyat near Chernobyl, wildlife thriving 34 years after the disaster. We possess all the tools, billions of minds, nature's energies, our unique ability to imagine better futures. The next few decades represent our final opportunity. One path leads to collapse, the other leads home.